From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Friday, January 20th. Here are today's headlines.
Vermont needs a lot more houses than the state previously estimated. That's according to analysts at the Vermont Housing Finance Agency, which says the state will need an additional 35 to 45,000 units by 2030 to solve the housing crunch. Maura Collins is the organization's executive director.
The lower number is if you looked at our long-term pattern of growth, which was slower, and the higher number is if you look at how we've been growing since the pandemic began, which is obviously much higher and faster.
Collins says the state will need to reform zoning and permitting regulations in order to increase the pace of housing construction.
Vermont lawmakers are weighing the first update to the state's pesticide regulations in 30 years. The rules govern everything from who gets to apply pesticides to how they're permitted. Sylvia Knight of Burlington is with the Vermont Pesticides and Poisons Action Network. She's urging lawmakers to reject the proposed rule.
I'd like to see more emphasis on true integrated pest management.
Integrated pest management involves trying alternatives to pesticides first, with the goal of using less. The Agency of Agriculture has said many farmers are already doing integrated pest management, and requiring it for every pesticide permit would take more staffing and money.
Advocates say recent efforts to shrink Vermont's prison population and reduce racial disparities in the criminal justice system have been successful, and they're urging lawmakers to take up more reforms. Falco Schilling is advocacy director at the American Civil Liberties Union of Vermont. He says the state's prison population has dropped in the past decade, in part due to efforts to have more people serve their sentences in the community. Schilling says legislators should consider further reforms.
I think the biggest rise we've seen over the last year or so is the number of people who are being held pre-trial without being convicted of a crime, and those numbers continue to rise. So we need to look at solutions such as ending cash bail and also looking at the dismissal of crimes where there is not a threat to public safety and people are still waiting for trial.
The ACLU is also pushing for more oversight of law enforcement, including the reintroduction of a bill that would make it easier for people to sue police over allegations of excessive force.
And a note, Governor Phil Scott will outline his spending priorities for the next fiscal year later today. You can tune in to hear the budget address live on the radio at 1 p.m. or go to vermontpublic.org.
Coming up, breaking down the cost of making childcare affordable in Vermont. More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
Earlier this week, we mentioned a report that dropped in the legislature. It's from the RAND Corporation and provides lawmakers with the clearest look yet at how much it'll cost to overhaul Vermont's child care system. Our colleague Pete Hirschfeld has been going through the report and talking with lawmakers about how they plan to move forward. He broke it down with All Things Considered host Mary Angish.
So, Pete, lawmakers and child care advocates have been waiting with bated breath for this report to come out. It became public on Tuesday. What have researchers found?
Lawmakers passed a law in 2001 that said by 2024, no Vermont family will have to pay more than 10% of its annual income on childcare expenses. This report finally tells lawmakers how much they'll need to spend to keep that pledge, and it is not a small sum. According to RAND researchers, Vermont would have to contribute between $179 million and $279 million a year in new public funding to ensure affordable, accessible childcare for every family that needs it. Those bottom line numbers of $179 million to $279 million, I should mention, it's not just for subsidies for parents. It would also allow the state to pay child care providers a lot more than they're making right now. With an average wage of about $14 an hour, the people that provide direct child care services in Vermont are among the lowest paid in the state. And it's a big reason child care centers have had so much trouble finding and holding on to workers. The extra public funding in the RAND report would push those wages up significantly, like something comparable to what a public school teacher would make.
Wow. And 100 $79 million. That is quite the price tag, especially in a state the size of Vermont. So what does this RAND report say about where that money can come from?
Lawmakers actually asked the RAND Corporation, Mary, to include some funding recommendations in its report, and the researchers have offered up a few different tax options for lawmakers to choose from. The proposals that RAND is throwing out there are a 0.9% payroll tax, or a 2% increase in the sales tax, or expanding the sales tax so that it includes taxes on services like lawn mowing or haircuts, for instance, which are not subject to the sales tax right now. Each of those options taken alone would generate close to $200 million a year in new revenue. So it would get the legislature pretty far along the way of meeting what they would need to raise in order to achieve the goals in the legislation. And according to RAND, those are some ways that Vermont could generate the financial capacity needed to fund those investments.
And Pete, I know you've talked to some lawmakers, too, about this report. How do they feel about this prospect of increasing taxes in order to spend more money on childcare? And what can we expect to see in the way of new legislation this year?
There aren't a lot of people in Montpelier right now, Mary, that are ready to commit to spending another $175 million a year on childcare. But there are some influential lawmakers who are going to be guiding discussions in the State House that are absolutely amenable to some form of tax increase to create more child care funding. Waterbury Representative Teresa Wood is the chair of the House Committee on Human Services. She's working on a child care bill literally as we speak, and she told me that elected officials need to go further on child care this year than they've been willing to go in the past.
The depth and breadth of what we need to do for Vermont's families is broader than tinkering around the edges. You know, we are talking about a big investment for a big payoff.
Teresa Wood says that big investment will almost certainly require a tax hike. But she says lawmakers need to be mindful of businesses and individuals that are going to be paying those taxes. And there are a lot of Democrats who think that even the low figure of $179 million is just way too much for the state to handle, at least in the short term. We're going to see child care bills introduced in the House and Senate either later this week or early next week, probably. That'll give us our first look at just how big lawmakers are willing to go. But there are a lot of other things competing for money right now. The House, for instance, is really bullish on passing a mandatory paid family and medical leave bill this year. That would require a payroll tax, likely. And if you have a big proposal like paid family leave that requires a payroll tax, then it could sap some of the revenue bandwidth that might otherwise go to childcare. Also, it's worth noting that Governor Phil Scott made really clear in his inaugural address that he will not be supporting any new tax increases this year. So if lawmakers do decide to go that route and they want to override a prospective veto by Phil Scott, they're going to have to come up with a package that some of the more fiscally conservative Democrats in the legislature are willing to get behind.
That was Pete Hirschfeld speaking with Mary Angish.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Abigail Giles and Liam Elder-Connors.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you on Monday. I do love that it says report that dropped. Like, oh, did you hear the RAND Corporation dropped a new report?
Just tossed it into the State House.
It's like dropping a track.